in Barb's home. Barb has a cool nest, and I've always enjoyed staying there. The value of a good shepherd, you guys, is amazing, because like Dan read, they watch for our souls. And doing what I'm doing and helping to restore this church, let me tell you, there is a huge shortage of pastors. Oh, my word. You can't believe it. There are churches all over the place that need pastors. And they're not many. And so this is a treasure. Well, I got a surprise yesterday afternoon. I made a phone call to some of our family because I know that their son goes to Wartburg College. And I found out from the mom, Liz Peel, that this family was coming. And so please welcome Ron Peel, Liz Peel, and Clay Peel right here. These three. Raise your hand, kids. Okay? There they are. This is one of my late wife's brothers. She had two brothers, Rusty and Ron. And Ron is a doctor of chiropractic and practiced in Ames for over 40 years. And he and Liz have had a terrific ministry. And I'm just so thankful for them. And what a joy to have them here today to celebrate at this particular time as a special gift. Hi, Clay. You know, I was driving around town to get to my motel, and I saw these beautiful college students out running on the runway. And I said, could one of those be Clay right there? But anyway, it's so good to see you, pal. God bless you. Okay, I'm going to brag on this passage. There's this passage that we're going to share today. I just love it. And I've honestly, you guys, I've never heard anybody talk about it but me. And not that I'm any big deal. It's just kind of a passage that you read over, and it's just kind of tucked away in several of the other passages around it. And you look at that and you say, that's not really a big deal. But if you would please be so kind to turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 13, we're going to go down to almost to the end of the chapter and go to verse 51. Matthew 13, 51. And this is so fun. I was praying and thinking. I told Beth, I said, I want to have something fresh. I want to have something that really applies to this situation with a pastor celebrating 10 years with the church. I've entitled this message, Savor the Vapor. You say, what in the world is that? And you should know right away you're in trouble when the preacher has to explain his title. So here I am explaining my title. Have you ever had a really good steak and somebody says, let's savor every bite? Yeah, sure you have. And so savor the vapor. And James says there in James 4:14, what is your life but a vapor that appears for a little while and then passes away? And how true it is. Oh, my word, you guys, it's just like 57 years ago. Where did it go? 57 years is gone. I remember Pastor Ray, I remember the passages that he showed us and everything, and it's just gone. And so the whole idea of savoring the vapor, I think sometimes we get so busy. We talked about this in Sunday school class, where we get so busy, we get under the load, and we got to get things going, get things done, and we miss the moment. I don't want to miss this moment right here with you guys. We're here in the moment, and we need to be present. There's a lot of things you could do with this passage. There really is. I think when we study it, you'll understand. But I just want to tell you ahead of time that we could take this passage, and it could be a description of a pastor's ministry. It could be a description of a pastor's development. In other words, what do we go through to be developed into pastors and ministers, whether we're that really make a difference? It also could be given to a dad who wants to influence his children. You know, it's influences. And I love to talk about how one generation should praise God to the next generation. And I love doing that. I'm older, you know, I'm up in the great-grandparent age and so forth. And so I want to think, now what can I do with this, what God has given me? And I want to influence the next generation. So it could be used for that. It could also be used for world influencers. Hey, you know what? We're in an election cycle. We need some world influencers for God, right? And so where do they come from? How do they develop? How do we develop men and women so that they're bold and confident and loving and able to speak the truth and love in a culture that we see these things happening to? And so this passage that I'm going to show you, it's just so awesome. It comes right from the King. King Jesus talks about things of the kingdom and how the kingdom is developed in us. And so this savor the vapor, I have just given that for us today, just to slow down and stop and enjoy. Okay? I want to tell you one more thing before I read the passage. This passage comes at a very strategic time in Jesus' life. You know, every gospel writer has a different purpose. And Matthew's purpose in talking about Jesus was to present him as King of the Jews. This is your king. And so that's what he's describing here. That's why he wrote the book of Matthew. And you know what? Every chapter, you know, you start with that genealogy, and that's the family right, and then you go to the royal right, and then he has the prophetic right, and then he has the teaching authority. Then all of a sudden, he's casting out devils and healing the sick, and he has the authority to heal and raise the dead, and all of that's going on. And it's just clip, 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 and it should be just like, this is no-brainer. This is the king. So, you're rocking along chapters 1, 8, 10, and you come to chapter 12, and Jesus, you guys, he casts a demon out of a man that was deaf and dumb, and he did a threefold miracle. Jesus did a threefold miracle. Remember all these evidences that Matthew's recording to show that Jesus is the king. This is a big deal. This is King Jesus. And he performs that threefold miracle, and guess what they did? Anybody remember? They said, you did that by the power of Beelzebub. What? They took this threefold miracle and they said to him, you did that by the power of the devil. And so Jesus went like this. I mean, in our vernacular, he went like this. Time out. That was a technical. And so I'm going to start talking about something else. And so in Matthew 13, the course changed, you guys. Matthew 1 through 12, here he is, the king. But then when that happened, that technical happened in the life of the Jews and the people who were watching, then in Matthew 13, Jesus turned and he said, okay, I am king of the Jews, but I got a bigger kingdom. I want to tell you about this bigger kingdom. And then he gave seven notable parables, and many of you are very familiar with the parable of the sower and pearl of great price and all of that. He gave seven amazing parables that talked about this bigger kingdom. And he comes down through that. He gets it all done. Here he's got these little guys around him, his disciples, and this is what he said. Now, I think that big picture of explaining Jesus and then he turned and did these amazing parables is one of the reasons why these three verses are just like blown right over. So we're in Matthew 13 and we're in verse 51. And the first one is a joke. Watch this. Jesus said to them after these parables, have you understood all these things? Have you understood all these things? And they said to him, yes, Lord, really? That's a joke. Do you think they understood all those things? Of course they didn't. But they were being respectful, and they responded to him that way. You know, how many of you understand everything about God? No, we don't, do we? I was kind of blown away a few years ago, like Pastor Dan talked about having COVID. I got COVID. Man, I came out of COVID. I was so frail, I couldn't hardly think. And I got disturbed about some things in my soul and spirit. And I picked up A.W. Tozer's book, Knowledge of the Holy. And I was blessed, Pastor Dan, to go to chapter 2, where Tozer says, God is incomprehensible. Whew. You know, I was glad about that. I thought I was maybe the only guy that didn't understand. Dr. Warren Wiersbe says, if you take the devil in the arena of the mind, he will win. But if you take him in the arena of faith, he will lose. And so there's a lot of things about God that I don't understand, but I trust him. And so these guys were the same way. And then this next verse, in verse 52, is just a super favorite of mine now, and I want you to see it. You have your outlines. There's some blanks there for you to fill in, and I'll help you with that as we go along. So this is what he said after they said, yeah, we got it. He said to them, therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old. What did he say? Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old. Actually, I want to give you the bottom line so that you won't miss it. So here's the bottom line. Jesus gave those disciples at that point direction. Now listen to this. For the stewardship of truth. And when you think about a pastor, he's to be a steward of the truth. When you think about First Baptist Waverly, we are to be stewards of the truth. When somebody goes off to Bible college, or when somebody starts to begin to, comes to know Jesus as their Savior, and then they begin to learn and become a disciple of Christ, they become stewards of the truth. And stewarding truth is awesome, you guys. At the end of this, I got a little paper there prepared for you, 10 Reasons Why I Love Ministry. And you know what's happened to me? I've come to the point in my life where it's just a super blessing. Like Romans 12, 1 and 2 is an old verse that we used to preach on a lot. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of mind. Now listen to this, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And you know that prove. That's a middle class Greek word that means prove to yourself. You know the person that needs to be totally convinced that God's way is right in your life is you. And you know, I've come to this point in my life and I look back and old Bruce's song was so good. Man, you nailed that. That's our favorite family song. And so I was so thankful. In fact, I thought about that one and doing that one instead of one I did. But you did it and God gave it to us. But God has been so faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. And if you were to ask me, why do I believe God's way is right? It's because I have seen it work perfectly in my life. I have proven to myself through living with God, studying his word, that God's way is good and acceptable and perfect. Love to see you young guys. Sure do. Love to see all of you young people here. And I will tell you, if you're just getting started and you're thinking about, you know, choices that you make, I can tell you God's way is the best way. So let's break this verse down, okay? Every scribe. So where do we start? Number one, we start as scribes. That means we start as learners. So you can write learner in the blank there, learner. We start as learners. And I will tell you, I don't think we can ever stop learning. I'm older than I've ever been, and it seems like I know less than I've ever known. And I just keep learning. Last night I was studying. I was right there in my motel room, just hunkered down studying, because I got a bunch of stuff that I want to know yet. So we start as learners, and we keep being learners. And I will tell you that if you stop learning today, you will stop teaching tomorrow. We need dads that are learners. We need moms that are learners. We need grandpas that are learners. We need pastors that are learners. And so it goes. You get the idea. And so a scribe is where we start. I'm a learner, so I take the Bible and I say, what does this say? What does this mean? How does this apply to my life? And that becomes the way I live, and that's the way I live. That's the way I prepared for this service right here. I look at this passage. What does it say? Check it out. What does it mean? Check it out. How does it apply to my life? How can I walk this out? And so that's the way we live as learners. And I don't think we should ever stop learning. It is so refreshing to sit down with maybe an older man that's retired and just have him say, guess what I read last night? You know, as I was going to bed, I read this. Old guys that are learners, it's a cool thing. The next key word is instructed. And by the way, if you're looking at that verse, you can circle those right there on your notes. You can circle scribe. That's a key word. The second word you circle is the word instructed. The word instructed is a Greek word, mathetes, and it simply is translated disciple. So guess what happens? Oh, wow, I look in the Bible and I learn something. Wow, I'm supposed to love my wife as Christ loved the church. Oh, okay, all right. Now, I become a disciple, I become a liver, L-I-V-E-R, liver, learner. I go from learner to liver. In other words, how many know you need to live what you learn? How many know that we need to do what we read? And so that's where the rubber meets the road, and you really have to put that into practice and work hard. So we start as learners, and then God makes us livers. And you know what? I have been down on my knees crying out to God, and I have a tendency to just kneel by my bed or in some case on my desk, and I'm saying, this is what you say. This has got to be right. Help me to do it. I don't know how to do it. I've done that with all kinds of things in my life, and hammer out before God the fact that I want to know how to live what God has taught me. How does this work? This must work. And you know, I think about Matthew 7, 24 through 27, and how Jesus said, a man who builds his house on the rock is like someone who hears God's word and does it. If I hear God's word and I don't do it, I'm like the man that built his house on a sand. And so when I think about a stewardship of truth for all of us, we start as learners. And we learn and dig and we keep learning. I enjoyed the Sunday school class this morning. The class was talking about respectable sins. Huh. Somehow they drug me into that class to discuss respectable sins. And it was a great discussion. I enjoyed hearing everybody talk about those things and able to share. So I learned things, but then I got to live it. How do I love my wife as Christ loved the church? I don't know how to do that, Lord. I thought I did, but I don't. How do I do this? How do I balance a budget? How do I keep my mind pure? How do I stay away from porn? How do I do this? How do I stay pure and holy before God? How does this process of sanctification go on and on? How can I nurture these children? How can I raise them? How can I speak into their lives? So I go from learner to liver. But then the next one really gets fun, too. And that is, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder. Write owner in the blank. O-W-N-E-R. I go from learner to liver to owner. All of a sudden, I begin to own some things. And these things begin to own me. And they become real convictions. They come off the page. I don't want to do it any other way than what it says. And so I become an owner. And these truths, I not only own them, but they own me. And in the Bible, you know this, there are two words that's translated word in the English. One is logos, and the other is rhema. Rhema is a big word. And I know there can be some doctrinal imbalance that comes from that word. But I want you to know that it's very real, and it means that the Word of God, the literal, written, black and white Word of God that's on the page, it comes off the page and becomes real in my life, and it becomes a reality. I love to ask audiences the question that Dr. Del Tackett asked in his Truth series. And Del Tackett asked the question, this is big, it's really big. Do I really believe that what I believe is really real? Do I really believe that what I believe is really real? Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, he rose again the third day. He ascended back up into heaven, and on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. And now today, when you trust Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. Dane Ortlund, in his book Deeper, said that when we accept Jesus Christ as Savior, then God, through the Holy Spirit, supernaturalizes the believer. In other words, we have the ability to live in the power of the Holy Spirit for everyday living. And so we become a householder. I think I could speak to a lot of you guys. If I were to go in your shed or your garage, you got a lot of tools. You got some things that you own. And you use those things that you own in order to accomplish work and make things and maybe give them away. I have a buddy who is able to, we take down, in fact, I gave him a big walnut tree last year. And he took the walnut tree, hauled it off on his trailer, put it in his sawmill, got it down, you know, dried it out, planed it down, and turned it into cabinets in his kid's kitchen with the tools, the things that he owns. And you know, as we get older, we ought to have those tools of truth the same way. You ladies in your kitchen, you have tools and things that you can help others. And you're, maybe you got your granddaughters there, your daughter and your granddaughters, and you're teaching them because you own some things, and so now we're able to teach them. And then the last one, he is like a householder that brings out of his treasure things new and old. Okay, watch this. This is fun. So I go, learner, liver, owner, giver. I bring out of that treasure things new and old. And of course, when Jesus is talking about the truth, he's talking to these young men about how the Old Testament fits with the New Testament and what they were going to have to face. But all of a sudden, they're going to be able to give away these truths that the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit has given them. And you know, some of us here, you guys are rich, rich, rich in truth. You know, we may be limited in finances, and we may not be extremely wealthy as far as money is concerned, but we're rich with truth, and we can give it away. And I will tell you, no kidding, as an older man, I love to go where I go just to give truth away. And it's so fun, because the more truth I give away, the more truth I get. And it never diminishes. If I were to dip into my bank account, it'd get gone, right? You know, you can only write so many checks, and then it goes away because I got limited funds. But truth never runs out. Truth never runs out. And so when we're thinking about how can we make the best of a very short journey, how can I become a person of influence? How can I make a difference in the next generation? Here's how it goes. Jesus was brilliant when he gave this. We start as learners. Just be learning. Don't even think about it. Just keep learning. Then learn how to live. I mean, what you've learned. Live it. And you can say to the kids, I've done this and it works. I've done this and it's great. I had some trials, but in the end, I had no reason to look over my shoulder or worry about it. And it came out like I was building on a solid foundation, you guys. And now I own it. Got a big treasure. Now I want to give it away. I just want to give it away. I want to give it to young people. I want to give it to my grandkids, my great-grandkids, to their families. I want to give it to kids, young people, churches, wherever I can give it away. Give it, give it, give it, give it. A generous philanthropist. I just love how Jesus outlined that. And the last thing I'll say about this at this point before we turn the page over is that I do want to say to you, people who live like this make great dads and moms and grandparents and husbands and wives and pastors and friends and statesmen. Because they're learning, they're living, they're owning it, they're giving it away. On the back of your page there, I think we have a summary I think this is a definition of pilgrims in progress. I think this is a warning. To whom much is given, much is required. I think there's a lot of hope here. This is a great adventure. And it has been. I think Pastor Dan could say that. Ministry has been a great adventure with all the ups and downs and struggles and in and out and trials. And yet, as you continue to learn through that and live that out and own some stuff, I see how that works and then give it away. It's like, this is a great adventure. In fact, I wrote that paper for you here. I think maybe I won't go over that. But this is a grace adventure. I wrote one extra thing on here to make it 10 for Pastor Dan. It used to read 9. You say, where did this come from? Well, I was speaking at a Bible college, and the leader who was leading me, he had forgot to tell me that I was going to speak in a career chapel. And he said, oh, Joe, I forgot to tell you. Tomorrow you're going to speak to our ministry guys and talk about a career chapel. And he said, I forgot to tell you. So, you know, just anything that you can get together. Oh, my word. I said, what am I going to do with this? I went back to my room, and that night I rested. I woke up at 3 for my normal little break there. And I sat back down, and I couldn't go to sleep. And as I began to think about ministry, why I love ministry, it's like my pen just began to write things. And I wrote down 9, and you'll notice when you look at this that the thing that I just described for you is 1. But then I put another one on it in coming here. So this is a great adventure. So I think there's some questions we could ask ourselves. 1, am I excited or bored? Am I excited or bored? Has the Word of God lost the freshness? And so that's something to ask. Am I doing or just hearing? Am I doing or just hearing? That's dangerous. Is my treasure full or empty? I'd love, you know, one of the things I like to do, I have a little sheet to do this. If I get people together, we could ask, what are your most treasured truths that you would love to share to the next generation or to people around you? Teresa and I, every morning, early in the morning, we read a chapter in the Bible, we share its realities, then we pray it up to the Lord. And so we're always sharing back and forth in our marriage what God's teaching us, and that helps us to stay fresh as well. And then the last one, am I generous or stingy? Are you looking for opportunities? Oh, my word, the need today for older adults be sharing the treasures they have with others is so, so needed. Here's a verse for you in Ezra 7:10. He's a good example for us. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. And that's why he was such a successful minister. Prepared his heart to seek, to do, and to teach. And then it's interesting how Jesus concludes right here in verse 53. It's right there on your paper. Now it came to pass when Jesus has finished these parables that he departed from there. That's what you call exit Jesus way. That's how he concluded this conversation. Got done with it? Okay, guys, pack up. Here we go. And Jesus often walked away like that just to test the hunger of people who were following him. It's kind of like he was saying, ball's in your court. And so the ball is in our court. When I finish here today, we'll enjoy the lunch. I'll hop in my flex. I'll head back to Indiana. On my way back to Indiana tomorrow morning, I meet a guy in prison at the river, Illinois River, who's there because of offenses. He's a young man that I tried to work with early on, and he's now in prison, and I agreed with his family that I would stop and see him on the way. And I'll be sharing. I'll be sitting down with him in the day room. He has to come to a seat and sit down. He can't leave the seat. I've got a card prepared to buy him food in the vendors. I'll get up, I'll buy him food, we'll be together a couple hours. I'll have a Bible I'll get from the day room, another Bible for him. And this old man will share these wonderful treasures in God's Word with this young man, hoping that he will say yes to the Lord in every way and be free, not only from prison, but from his addictions. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? Okay. Let's pray.